You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, the kid, Andrew Gribble, live from the Dog Bowl. We're going to keep these calls rolling. As long as you call in, we'll keep taking you. Kevin in Worcester. What's up, Kevin?
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Good, man.
Okay, let me preface this by saying I am a Browns fan. I want them to win as much as anybody.
All right, here we go.
Well, but we all know what season it is, and it's a season of eternal optimism for Browns fans.
But doesn't that make it more fun?
It does, but then it leads to the disappointment. It's like the roller coaster of emotions we go through every
year. You watch them either way, don't you?
Of course I do. But all I'm saying is I'm smart enough to know that we're going to be bad as opposed to thinking we're going to be good.
All right.
Our owner, he looks at Johnny Manziel, and I don't know if he sees himself 35 years ago, but I see a guy who's a really, really, really good talker, but really, really average at what he does.
You're saying Johnny?
Yes. Our GM seems to be the only guy in the entire facility who can get cell service to text, because I know that I can't when I'm there. And our team is full of number twos. We don't have a number one running back, quarterback, tight end, wide receiver, but we're full of number twos. And in this league, obviously, it takes talent to win. I know the team chemistry is most important. But if you don't have that quarterback, you need to have something around him. But if you don't have anything around him, you know, you're going to get what you're going to get.
Well, you figure a quarterback in Brian Hoyer last year with nothing around him won 7 games. So this year, I think we made a lateral move in some cases to have a stopgap in Josh McCown, also hoping Johnny Manziel falls in love with playing quarterback in the National Football League, who has more talent than both of them probably combined, Brian Hoyer and Josh McCown. And we now have better, larger weapons for that quarterback to throw to.
And also, like last year, and I was the first one on it, I was on the Johnny bandwagon. But as much as people were on it now, we're just as
you were irrational. You were number two in command behind Aaron Goldhammer.
Okay, but people are just as irrationally off of it now. He played 7 quarters. And I know you don't have that necessarily feeling that he's going to be a star quarterback, but there is a chance. And contrary to that last caller, I think I'm a smart guy. I think you're a smart guy. I think Gribble's a smart guy. Nobody knows. That's the beauty of sports, and that's the beauty of professional sports and being a fan, is you don't know what's going to happen. You could be wrong, and Johnny could be a great quarterback. And then all of a sudden, if we do have even a good quarterback, if he turns into a good starting quarterback, then I will jump on this table and say 11-5 next year, because the talent is there.
It's the roster around is either – I don't know how you could say the offense in this offseason has gotten worse. I just don't – I can understand maybe if you're thinking it's similar, but I do think at the wide receiver position – particularly, it's better.
Way
the offensive
better.
Line is the same with a player at left guard, Joel Bitonio, who is emerging as one of the better players at his position. Alex Mack is back in the lineup.
That's where
I get lost with some of those arguments.
Tight end is the only spot, and I think, and I wanted to ask you guys about this, but to me, the number one weakness on the entire roster is tight end.
Absolutely. And that's where, you know, a guy, again, yesterday we had Matt Mittler from the Bleacher Report, who did a 7-round mock draft, had us taking Max Williams at 19. And we all commented that it was a little bit of a stretch at 19, but believe that he's a guy that's got to be on our radar.
That's where I would kind of disagree. I would think, unless the board looks completely different than we think, I would think a pick like that would be going off the board maybe per se. But like that's a player that we probably all agreed to identify as a prospect that you would trade down for,
yes,
eyeing him later in the draft. I think that and maybe that second group of wide receivers where you can maybe get some value, move down about 5 or 6 picks, and still get the wide receiver you want.
I agree. Let's go back to the phones. Dessez in Cleveland. Gone. Let's go. Chevy, our guy Chevy in Jersey. What's up, Chevy?
Boy, I like all this optimism. I'm a huge Johnny football fan. I don't see why he can't evolve out of this with the young OC and the coach behind him. But here's what I like in the first round. I really think we need a wideout. And I used to think we needed an offensive lineman so we could dominate, but I think we could pick up a good one in the second round, and we could trade back up into the second round. I also think we need a defensive lineman, center, that's going to dominate. And not only is he going to dominate, but he's going to have to hold everyone accountable on that D-line. And then, of course, we could also go for an edge rusher and a tight end with the rest of those picks.
Let me ask you a question here.
Yes.
What do you do if all three receivers are off the board at 12?
Then you trade down and you get a guy like Brown, maybe at like 13, 14, 15, and you take a couple extra picks and you trade back up into the second, get your old lineman and your tight end. You don't have to get Max Williams. You might be able to get him with your first pick in the second round.
I actually wouldn't hate that. That seems feasible.
I think Williams would be realistic with the Browns' first pick in the second round
without a trade. 43, yes.
Yeah, I think it's definitely on the table.
What about my guy Funchess? Is he going to be a tight end in the pros?
I think he's going to be a hybrid guy. And he's going to be a mismatch guy, especially the way he can jump. He might be 10 pounds away and 1 year of NFL experience of being on a Jimmy Graham level.
Because, you know, what I like about him, and people say, oh, he was inconsistent, he had a lot of drops at Michigan. And granted, you guys have dominated us in his time there. But
oh, we have, yeah, absolutely.
In those in those games, the one guy that showed up, and you guys knew the only person that we could throw to was him.
Yes.
He still was performed admirably in those games.
Yes, he was. And again, mind you, the advantage for him will be he'll be lining up inside against nickel corners and against outside, you know, 4-3 linebackers, which are, and in today's NFL, no bigger than 6 foot, 6 foot one. And or a walked out, you know, inside linebacker who's, you know, playing outside the box that always gets a little finicky, that he's a matchup problem for you, you know. So you've got a down safety playing him from high to low. I like him all day working in, you know, inside. Working outside in the pro game, I don't think it's going to be for Devin Funchess.
I bet Funchess is a guy that right now is a really polarizing figure with offensive coordinators. I bet there's a sect that loves him, yeah. Says they could do so much with him, and then there's probably some other ones that just aren't touching him. So that's why I think he might go higher than we think, because there might just be a couple teams that
fall
in love with him.
Coordinator that'll stretch for him?
Yeah.
Sure.
So the way you said that, was that like your nightmare when you had to get flex out against the tight end one-on-one coverage?
For me, but it is for inside line. Of course, early on when you're walked out and in practice I was doing against Antonio Gates – you know, and he's boxing me out, pushing, you know, for, you know, using that forearm like Tony Gonzalez taught him so well. It was tough, but practicing against, you know, a guy like Antonio Gates every single day made walking out against, you know, Kellen Davis easy for me in an actual NFL football game. So, all right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to hit Fact or Fiction. Myself, Matt Wilhelm, the kid, Andrew Gribble, live in the Dog Bowl. We're hitting Fact or Fiction. Loving your calls. Keep them coming. 216-578-0850. We're talking draft, Ray Farmer, offseason. Do you like the moves we've made thus far? Keep them coming. Tweet the show at Browns_Daily. Matt Wilhelm on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.